All things B.B. Comer football are here now. This is the Coach Fawcett Show, presented by Radio Alabama Sports.
Welcome to the Coach Adam Fawcett Show. Greg Wyckoff, Tony White, and the face that Mount Rushmore is calling for, the man himself, Coach Adam Fawcett. I practiced all day long. I even went in the bathroom at work today and looked in the mirror and say, Mount Rushmore. Don't mess it up, Greg. Mount Rushmore.
I just want to know what you're paying this guy.
I know I get a big face, but golly.
I mean, come
Mount
on.
Mount Rushmore? That's
two weeks in a row.
It was better than last week's, though.
That's what I'm saying. You know, that one last week was pretty good, and now it's even better. What do you – okay, I need to get in on this.
Hey, you know, just – We talking, you know, during the week. I'm like, hey, maybe this will sound good, you know. I give him a few things to help me sound really good, and then I'll just let him run with whichever one he likes.
All right.
Well, Coach, one thing that was good, whenever a loss can be good, because I tell you what, Coach, I'm proud of the way you guys played last Friday night. A lot of younger players, that was their coming out party. And now we all expect big things from these sophomores because they showed us what they can do. But that was probably one of the best games to watch, a very tough football game we knew we were going to have. But I know you were proud of your kids because they didn't stop.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, that was one of those games where, like, you're into the game the whole time. There's ups and downs and all the things that go with it. And at the end of the night, man, you just – it's one of those games where you wish both teams could win, but that's just not reality. So we played pretty well in spots. We did some great things in spots and saw a huge improvement from week one to week two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking for. So, you know, a couple of those guys did step up and play really well. And I felt like at the end our youth kind of took over and – excuse me, and we weren't able to kind of finish things off. So we had a couple of miscues, a couple of missed tackles, a couple of things that just did not that we did not execute on that put us in a bad spot. Didn't capitalize on a couple of red zone opportunities that we should have capitalized on. And
but Coach, honestly though, your son goes in one of the tightest games, one of the toughest positions, and the snap is at his shoestrings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it couldn't have gotten any worse for Max. I mean,
yeah, it was. He handled it really well, you know, and he like we knew we were going to start Ray that week, and you know, Ray brings more experience. Obviously, he's faster footed. I don't know if that's correct. Faster footed.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's your show, Coach. Anything goes.
There you go.
My wife will correct it if it's wrong. so he's got a quick, you know, quicker feet, and you know, we were going to do a lot of stuff rolling out of the pocket and stuff like that. So that worked to our advantage. And then I explained to him Friday after the game, like, you know, and he's still young and doesn't understand. Like, he, you know, he wants to be a part. He wants to be, you know, I want to help. I want to help. I want to help. Well, those few plays that you come in, like, you're standing on the sideline for 15, 20 minutes, and they're like, Max, go, Max, go. Well, then you got to run in and run a play. Like, that adversity is going to help you grow mm-hmm. overall. That adversity is going to help you get better and know the game better as you grow and get better. So, but he came in and spot played well for us. I thought Ray did a heck of a job for us on both sides of the ball, and just showed what his ability is. You know, he's a special player and a special athlete, and you know, for him to be able to run around like he did and get the rushing yards that he did, and then throwing the ball like he did, and then turn around and play defense as well as he did, it says a lot about him and his desire and just how well in shape he is. So, you know, we've got to move on from it. And I thought our attitudes were a lot better this week than they were the previous week. So, and that's huge. Like we got to understand how to deal with adversity. We got to understand how to handle those things. And You know, losing sucks, but it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Like it's, it happens. Okay, if people in this area think that this is the end of the world, man, they should be Florida State fans because that's
like, the end of the world.
Like, that's the end of the world as far as sports go because that's a big time. Program that was supposed to be really, really good that brought in guys through the transfer portal and all these fancy things and NIL deals.
And I saw the NIL deal today. Mm-hmm. You know, WM Waste Management was going to sponsor Florida State's quarterback. Oh, you know, wonderful. that was a great little one I saw today.
That's funny.
Yep.
That is funny. Bless his heart. Hey, I guess get any kind of NILs you can. So.
Well, I don't even want to talk about NIL. I just don't. Or the transfer portal. To me, it's ruining college football. So, but Coach, I thought Max done very well. Like you said, I mean, he's over on the sidelines, and most of the time I was watching him at times because the year before, what really impressed me with the guys over there, they stood and watched. Mm-hmm. They stood and seen what was going on to see if they did have to go in, what they needed to do, and Max did the same thing. But you're cold. Mm-hmm. You stand over there 15 minutes, you know, watching, and then you have to go in at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. You're cold. But like you said, that's gonna build you quicker than anything mm-hmm. because you can go in, do your thing, and learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, learn from your mistakes and being able to carry that with you and to move forward with it. So, and we had, you know, there was a couple other guys on the like our front guys. I thought a couple of our guys really grew up a little bit, and we've kind of created a little competition at center between Tylan Parrish and Colton Sheeram, and you know we were going back and forth with those guys, and we were like, hey, you know, whoever's got the hot hand is going to stay. So it was a battle during the game, and at the end of the game. Tylan had the hot hand and was doing well, and you know, he got a little banged up, and he's like, you know, we were gonna take him out. He's like, no, I'm good. And we felt like, hey, maybe this may be a growing up moment for him. So hopefully that carries over into this week, and some of those other guys, like Josh Ruiz is gonna be another guy that can be really good for us as he continues to get better. Ja'Corian Bourne's another one, that sophomore up front, that doesn't understand his potential. And that's been a conversation every day this week at practice. Like, you have no idea what your potential is. Like, you could be mm-hmm. the next one. You could be the next Zachariah Carpenter or the next Caden Brown or Corey Anderson or, you know, those guys that have come through the process and been great for us and have had success. So just helping them understand, like, you could be, you know, you could be that guy is one of those things that we're trying to push through to them now and helping to do that and using film study and using, you know, our different practice things that do that. You know, we practice was kind of dead today, and, like, I just went and got a couple of bags, and we just started doing, like, one-on-one stuff, just drive blocking. We, you know, we call it stud on a stick. But, you know, who can drive who back? And, like, it kind of got some life in them and figured some things out. You know, Tylan was Ja'Cari Brown playing nose. He gets Tylan a lot and beats him a lot. And we're like, look, if you can block him, you're going to be okay because you're not going to see a nose as fast as him during the season. And they win a couple times, and we're fixing and we're telling, you know, coaching Tylan to do this and do that, and hey, you've got to make sure you know you're snapping with your right hand, you got to land a punch with your left hand, you know, left hand's got to be quick, all those stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, boom, it all comes together, and Tylan fires off, he shoots his hands, and all of a sudden he's driving Ja'Cari back, and he's like, whoa, you know, I can do this. I'm like, yeah, like, you can do this, like, You got to have some confidence. You got to have a little swagger about yourself and believe that you can do it. So trying to do all that, this group is, how can I say, they're pleasantly exhausting. So, like, when practice is over every day, I'm exhausted. Like, you know, you're trying to pump them up, and then you're trying to get on to them, and then you're trying to pump them back up, and then you're trying to fix their steps and do this and do that. And so they're kind of pleasantly exhausting in that aspect. But, again, the potential is there to be so much better.
Well, Coach, we got a couple minutes left. You got a first region game.
Yeah.
First region game, and pretty good team comes into Legion Stadium. How have you prepped for Glenwood this week?
One practice at a time.
That's right.
What has Glenwood got? I have not watched any film or anything on them, so.
I'll tell you what, they are making a splash in AHSA. You know, they were AISA up until this year. They started the season with a bang. They beat Valley, 5A Valley, 21-20 at their place to open up the season in week zero. And then they traveled to Elba last Friday and beat Elba like 49-22. I may be wrong about that score, but they beat them pretty good last week at Elba. And they play really, really well. They're very physical, very well coached. Coach Nelson down there does a really good job with those guys and coaches them up. And they've got some guys that they can do some things that can hurt you. So quarterback throws a really good ball, runs a zone read pretty well. They've got a couple guys up front that get after it. They've got a ton of size. Like, size-wise, they're pretty big on both sides of the ball. And, you know, they're coming in here on a streak. They're coming in here very confident about themselves and what they're doing. And they've been around high school football. They've been around AISA football. But they're smart enough to know that in AHSA or any league for that matter, that region games are important. Mm-hmm. And you start tallying region wins as soon as you can and as often as you can. Because the goal is obviously the playoffs, and then once you're locked into the playoffs, the goal is to seed as high as you can, to see where you fit in. You know, are you the one or two seed playing at home, or are you the three or four seed that's going on the road, and things like that. So they are a little bit more true 3A as far as depth. They dress quite a few kids. They'll have a sideline full. And their depth is something that is concerning for us because we don't have a lot of depth. So, and that's been no secret. You know, we have what we have. So, again, they'll be well put together. And, you know, for us to have success, we're going to have to execute. We've got to execute for four quarters. We've got to do what we're, you know, do what we're coached to do and stay the course. And just understanding the ups and downs of things that can happen during the flow of a game. We've got to keep our heads on our shoulders and just make sure that we're making plays and doing the things that we can control.
Sounds good to me. I think like you said, once they get the confidence that they can do it, then I believe they can compete with anybody in 3A. So I think you got something going there.
Yeah, no doubt. Confidence is key, and I think, you know, even like last week after the game, just talking to the guys, and just being like understanding of it. Like, I think people have this misnomer that, you know, we go in the locker room after the games and we yell and scream and we get all upset and stuff like that. And last Friday there was no yelling at all. It was just, you know, hey, we had a chance. We didn't finish it. There's some things that we definitely got to work on. You played a lot better. You know, we hit some things that had to be done. But at the end of the night, man, our guys gave everything they had. They busted their tail and did a good job. And I don't want to you don't want to keep pouring salt in a wound. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they hurt. They feel bad about it. It doesn't – you know, you're not going to solve anything by that. You know, I get upset when our effort is bad. I get upset when our discipline is bad. I get upset if we go rogue and don't do what we're supposed to do and what we're coached to do and things like that. That's what makes me upset. Those are the things that I get upset about and I raise my voice about during a halftime or a post-game situation. And that's whether we win or lose. I mean, you ask some of my previous teams, some of the worst halftime butt-chewings have been when we were up at halftime. I think it was Zach Carpenter's bunch. They talk about it today. Man, we were beating somebody by 28 points at halftime. Coach Fawcett came in. He was mad. And, you know, we weren't doing this and we weren't doing that. And they're like, man, we didn't know what to do. It was crazy.
I got one question right quick. I know we ain't got very much time.
True.
Fourth quarter, last drive of Vincent. Flag comes out. They wave it off. Tell me about that. I've got me and Greg.
We really want to know about that one because
I used a timeout for that one because I wanted to know too.
Our theology is if you throw a flag, you saw something.
Well, the only one there was two flags.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what baffled me. Let's see. I gotta give the correct answer. he told me that the flag was on number 5, blocking below the waist. And he said, but number 5 was the ball carrier, so you can't be the ball carrier and block below the waist. I said, okay, that's a valid point. I said, but two people threw the flag. He's like, well, there was a 5 on the jersey. And my reply was, they have a couple people with 5s on their jersey. They have a 55. They have a 65. They may have a 45. Like, there's other options of 5s. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what happened. So we waved it off. And I was like, all right.
So, in other words, he couldn't give you an answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, it's like Greg and I were, we couldn't figure it out because, you know, if you throw a flag, you saw something, especially if two of them come out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we couldn't, we didn't understand. So glad you cleared that up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. And what is done is done. That's so, right. What we got now, we've got Glenwood. And so, come out, support the Comer Tigers. We need all the support. Let's get loud in the stands. Bring the cowbells. It was great. Great crowd last week. Bring the crowd again this week. Pre-game starts at 6:30. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. Coach, thank you again for taking the time to come down here and laugh and share a little bit with Comer Nation.
Hey, I appreciate it. I enjoy this more than you guys will ever know. So, thank you.
God bless you, Tony.
I hope everybody comes out Friday night. We'll have a good time.
It's the Coach Adam Fawcett Show.
Thanks for listening to the Coach Fawcett Show, presented by Radio Alabama Sports. Follow all season long on the official home of the B.B. Comer Tigers, the Coosa Pines Federal Credit Union Comer Sports Network on Mix 106.5, the Comer Sports Network Facebook page, RadioAlabamaSports.net, and the Radio Alabama app.